So, as an aside, the next few slides will look at those opportunities that resulted from the review. First, we have value engineering. And just to provide a little background, value engineering provides the opportunity for contractors to submit value engineering proposals that actually will provide innovative or even lower cost construction without impairing the essential function and characteristics of the work that's being performed. When the proposal is accepted, the shared savings between the tollway and the contractor is calculated. As a result of the review, it identified that VE proposals reviewed had 94.4% of them actually reviewed had accurate payments, and then less than 6% had some discrepancies. And the firm is recommending that the VE proposals should not be released until the final billing from the contractor. The second area is penny bid items, where they identified that 12.5% of 151 CRP bid tab forms had pay item variances. And the tollway's instruction to bidders actually allows contractors to provide a cost greater than zero, thus contractors can utilize penny bids. To make changes in this area, the firm is recommending that the tollway revise the bid analysis or consider even rejecting change order proposals with penny bids. They even went further to note that the Nevada Department of Transportation has a successful bid analysis program that the tollway should possibly consider and place under advisement. Some of the trends noted through their review of CRP projects was the use of force account as a tracking mechanism for extra work orders. The review also identified instances of untimely submission of force account invoices and untimely submittal of authorizations to proceed. It was, however, acknowledged that the current tollway process established for force accounts is very solid and effective, but due to utilization of force account work, it's recommended by the firm that when force account work exceeds an established percent of the total project extra work orders, that the tollway should have the construction manager identify someone for this task, have it be an inspector of some designated resource. The tollway should also reduce the amount of time the contractor is permitted to submit invoicing. It's also being recommended that the tollway can use a log to better track force account work so that the log will serve to assist in the management and tracking of key components of the project schedule and budget. The next slide here talks about project schedules and liquidated damages. The review highlighted scheduled delays in the projects reviewed at 28%. Three projects pursued liquidated damages of what they reviewed. The opportunity for improvement in these areas, although it was noted that potential delays can arise due to weather, unknown utility, permitting, site conditions, and other, the recommendation to address this includes ensuring completion dates are known by all, enhancing communication throughout the project, and increasing accountability by requiring a project scheduler and require written notification of delays from the contract construction manager to the contractor. Now, in the area of E&O, errors and omissions.
I'm sorry, could we go back to that one?
Sure.
The 1% of the overall cost, I would assume that's not out of line with national standards, right?
It's very good, I think.
Right.
I mean, it looks, when you look at the 28%, and then it looks like a big percentage, but then when you look at the value, if I understand this slide right, the value was less than 1% of the overall cost of the entire program? Or am I mixing
the 1%
that?
Is only with respect to errors.
Errors and omissions, yeah. I see. So it's the projects, that's the 28% of the projects and only three were, so that is a something that we should be looking at.
The other thing on schedule, I think, is we probably need to do a little better. We can do an improved job in our own contracting documents of identifying what exactly the delivery that's really important to us and making sure everybody understands that, because we have always prioritized delivery of the road opening as being, you know, the substantial completion date versus the final completion, knowing that, frankly, our drivers probably don't care when the shrubs and grass and other components are put in, but they do care very much about us opening up the road for their use. So I think that, you know, that's something that, you know, going forward we'll continue to see if there are opportunities to refine.
And
that.
Chair, you made some general statements at the beginning of the construction audit, and the general statement from engineering is that we've been working very closely with Cassandra through the whole development of this audit, and these findings are not, or opportunities for improvement are not a shock to us. We mm-hmm. have been informed of them, and many of them we've either addressed already or are in the progress of addressing them right now. And Christy pointed out, you know, making adjustments to our specifications with respect to specific schedules, and then also doing some advance notice to the CMs and training. Those things are in the works right now.
Right. And obviously we've also discussed the errors and omissions process and kind of reinvigorating the committee that meets on errors and omissions, and I think we've discussed that even previously with the board. So
February.
Gilbane did a very nice job.
Yes.
And we've got a couple representatives of Gilbane here to identify some of these opportunities for, you know, improvement, as there's always opportunity for improvement. But we haven't just been sitting around waiting for this final, as Paul
yes.
said. We've been trying to be proactive to prepare for next year, which will be a very big year.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt your flow, Christine.
Now, when I move to the next slide, this actually has taken us into a different segment of the construction practices review that was conducted by Gilbane. This section of the review was to provide recommendations with a focus on the discussion about innovative contracting methods being used successfully around the country that could benefit the tollway. A best practices study was conducted with state DOTs, other highway authorities, FHWA, FTA, and even academia too, that were all experienced with innovative project delivery or knowledge thereof. The recommendations that were resulted from the study included consideration for two innovative project delivery methods, which are listed here in the first two bullets. The first one being pursuing the design-build method of procurement. Now, the advantage here is the potential for providing accelerated schedule and the ability to assign risk to the design builder for cost escalation and project completion. The second bullet is known as the CMGC method, which is the construction manager general contractor method. And this method allows for the contractor's input and selection based upon qualifications as well as cost. The third bullet point on this slide is in reference to the A plus B contracting, or what is also known as cost plus time. Now, the combination of the pay items and required time frames are added together to arrive at the contractor's bid. This practice actually allows the contractor to establish the construction period consistent with the resources available to him. And per the study that was conducted, it's typically used on projects where schedule delays pose significant impacts. And I think overall, to really wrap up the discussion about the firm that the tollway partnered with, is to indicate that overall the consulting firm was impressed feedback with the tollway's management policies, their operating procedures, their specifications, and found them to be in line with other agencies. Additionally, it was noted during their evaluation that the tollway has developed a comprehensive operating procedure manual that provides guidance to tollway staff and contractors in the development and implementation of the tollway's infrastructure improvement program. The firm also complemented the supplemental specifications and other guidance documents used to manage the design and construction work at the tollway. And before I move on, are there any other questions or comments?
I just want to say that it is good that that we get the findings that, even though they're not material and it doesn't have anything to do with quantitative, but as we listen to the external auditor, it really does give us suggestions for improving our internal controls, which is qualitative issues that they will also be looking at. So this really helps us even tighten up the good internal controls that we already have to get those suggestions now as we're moving forward with more contracting. It was a good idea to send that company out there and do this.
And I think that we can take this, some of these, you know, contracting methods, some best practices here that are being recommended, and come back to one of, if not the whole board, a board committee, to discuss in more detail how much we should pursue any of these, or how, mm-hmm. you know, much of an improvement we would think they could be over what we already do. Obviously, as noted here, the design build method is not currently allowed under state law, so there's that little hurdle to overcome in implementing it, but you know, ultimately, I think it's worth it to discuss, you know, these in more, in greater detail at some committee right. in the future. So,
okay.
And I did want to emphasize again, you know, engineering's great partnership on this, and the company that did the work for us, Gilbane, and of course internal audit. I mean, it's not always the most comfortable process to go through, to have people come in, you know, after the fact when you've accomplished a great deal, and you know. I identify maybe small areas around the boundaries that can be improved, but I think everybody approached it professionally, and I think we've all gotten a good product here and something that we can build, you know, more success in the future on. So.
Good job.
Yeah. Thank you.
So next I'm going to move on to the phase of my presentation that takes us into the approval of our two-year audit plan. In order to get to that two-year audit plan, the internal audit department goes through a formal risk assessment process. The purpose of the risk assessment is to gain an understanding of the risks that threaten the tollway, to really document the risk and map them against potential internal audit projects. And in this environment, what we do is then it allows us to create an audit profile. We prioritize the risk profile by ranking the risk and then determining which ones are high, medium, and low. And then ultimately those high-level risks are then populate our internal audit plan. We develop a risk-based multi-year internal audit plan based on various audit types. Now the audit plan for 2015 and 2016 is designed to provide audit coverage across tollway operations. We use a two-year risk assessment model, and we also begin the process by utilizing our previous internal audit risk assessments in prior years. Some of the risk categories that we consider as we develop our internal audit plan include strategic risks to the agency, operational risks to the agency, of course compliance risks to the agency, financial and reputational risks. This next slide highlights how the hours that are being budgeted for 2015 and the percent of audits associated with the various categories here. We will have 4% of our time will be spent doing mandatory system meetings, which includes pre-implementation reviews, which we are required to be involved with to ensure compliance with internal control systems. We will also be expending considerable amount of time, too, with participating in meetings around system replacement, for instance, for back office, and also the ERP and other system implementations and upgrades. We have risk-based audits, which you'll see here at 24%, where our focus will be highly centered on the probability that controls are not in place and are weak. And then we have our mandatory internal control reviews, which many are pretty much designated through our FISA requirements. And then we set in our plan a percentage of discretionary hours for special projects that may come down, that may need our attention. And of course, then we have our required hours and percent available for the OIG for different investigations as well to partner with them.
So, Cassandra, were the hours allocated this year or last year for the special audits about what you ended up using? And is this consistent with that? I'm sorry, I don't remember what you...
Yes, it is consistent. The only area where I would say that there is some variance would be in our mandatory system meetings. We have devoted a significant amount of time for that since we have the ERP system evaluation coming up. And then... also, we have more internal control reviews this year that we're undertaking, so that number is a little higher than in previous years. Mm-hmm. But overall, it's, you know, outside of those parameters that I identified, it's pretty much very similar breakout. And this is just a pictorial of where we'll be spending our time that was already identified in the prior charts. And then here you have the 2016 plan, and the projections that we allow for in 2016 will be revisited, of course, next year and the latter part of 2015, and revised if needed based upon the results of our risk assessment. But here you'll see that you'll see the increase in internal control reviews from the prior year, again based upon changes in what's required through FISA, and then. We have a little less hours in our mandatory system meetings simply because we'll probably be on the other side of at least the critical portion of the ERP system, which will be in 2015. And this is what our plan will look like for 2015. The next slide, two slides actually, it's just a refresher for 2015 on the audit committee schedule. The next time I'll appear will probably be in the April timeframe, where I will talk about internal audit activities from 2014, including control issues that were identified. We'll talk about any governance issues or concerns, as well as, talk again about internal audit's purpose. Usually in August, we have traditionally talked, about the external audit results, which we typically would expect around that time frame. And then we will have a brief discussion about our, semi-annual audit activities. And then December, as I have covered in this presentation, the state of our resources in internal audit and our approval of our plan. And lastly, our next step would be to address the and seek approval of the charter and the 2015-2016 internal audit plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So we did have one more presentation before we move to these approvals, which we need. I just want to do a time check because we're. I know that maybe we had thought that we would end it around noon. I don't think that this next presentation on the ERP system is necessarily going to be that long, but I wanted to make sure that everybody could could maintain our quorum necessary to approve our items. We're dangerously close to losing it.
No, you're not close at all.
Okay.
It appears we're both willing to say.
Okay, very good. So no audit committee meeting would be complete without a presentation on the ERP system, which of course we're all very focused on. Prasad is going to give us a brief overview of kind of where we are and what we can expect, an update on the ERP implementation that he's been leading here at the tollway.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you, Christy, for the time check. I was trying to do that.
Good.
I have a very short agenda here. Two items.
It's right next to here. Prasad. Right next to your seat, where you're sitting.
Oh, okay, sorry. I'll do a quick recap of our previous discussions this year, and then I will summarize the 2014 accomplishments. I will try not to brag.
It's okay.
In January, when we met, I presented the approach we are taking to ERP implementation. One of the things I discussed was ERP as one of our major initiatives, an initiative to replace our 30-year-old systems from mainframe as well as miscellaneous systems. These systems are across various departments, finance, HR, procurement, engineering, operations. And the approach we are taking to ERP implementation at Tollway, we plan to have three different types of consulting services. First one is the advisory services. Advisory services, they'll be here with us from the start to finish of the program. They will become our subject matter experts. They'll gain understanding of our Tollway systems in the beginning of the program, get our requirements out, help us with the RFP preparation for the implementation services, and then onboarding the implementation services team and continuing to help us with the subject matter expertise that we need to bring the ERP system live. The second one is the independent verification and validation services. This team is there to help us again from the beginning of the program to check on quality, to proactively help us with meeting our deliverable quality standards and objectives on the program, and ensuring that we are tracking according to the plan. If there are any issues or risks they foresee from us meeting those requirements. And the third type of services is the implementation services itself, where we procure the software and the consulting services to implement the software. As accomplishments in January and in May, we secured the approvals from the board to pursue with both the advisory services and the independent verification and validation services. We onboarded information services group to help us with advisory services. And Grant Thornton started with us in the IVNB scope of effort. The first thing we did after we onboarded both teams is form a project management office, or PMO. We also established a collaborative environment where we wanted to share all the documentation, even reviews and approval processes through a SharePoint collaborative environment that has been set up. We have automated that to an extent that we think we are benefiting from it. Then we also published a survey to all the executive department chiefs of departments. We collected their input on expectations from their various departments, and we used that responses from survey to put together a project charter that, again, we wanted to make sure that the charter address the needs and expectations of all the departments that we are working with. Then we also established a steering committee. It consists of eight steering committee members, again from department chiefs, and includes Mike Stone, Chief of Staff, as well as Tim, Deputy Chief of Staff. And as a steering committee, we meet every month, and monthly we review the status report on the ERP program. And that status report is put together by the ISG team. IBNB verifies it and validates it, and obviously Tollway contributes to that as well. And that report we review with the steering committee, and we talk about the accomplishments the previous month, any issues and risks we foresee on the program, and we also talk about the finance, the budget, where we are in terms of progress, and we also talk about the next month's activities that are planned. And these reports and all the artifacts from the ERP program are stored on the SharePoint. They are available. There are about 60 members from Tollway who have access to that with their collaborative environment, and they can check any of those documentation or reports at any time. And one of the major objectives from the Advisory Services Initiative is the putting together of the requirements for the RFP, and also the business processes. Since we have 30-year-old systems, we want to take a closer look at our processes to see where we can optimize and improve some of those processes. It will not be complete before we procure the software, but at least we are making a proactive attempt to understand what those needs are and optimization areas are. So when we take the implementation team, it will be easy for us to address some of those and get the software to meet those objectives. And we also are pretty close to wrapping up our business case, our ROI assessment document. And the most important deliverable from that, from this phase, is the RFP for the implementation services. We drafted the RFP, and it's with procurement right now. They are reviewing it. In fact, it's going through several levels of reviews, and it's at final stage of review. Hopefully, it will go out for publication very soon.
And is that on schedule?
We have slipped by a month or so, but the RFP went to procurement in September, and it's been in reviews, and we have enhanced it considerably based on feedback we got. We wanted to release it in November timeframe, but now in December. Unfortunately, we're hitting the holidays, so we don't want to release something during the holiday time period, so most likely we'll release it in January.
Thank you.
And that's the end.
Or release it and make some accommodation for an additional for scheduling of responses, but yeah. Two things I think from your perspective that hopefully that we prioritize that you should be aware of it does sound like a lot of meetings and a lot of steering committees and a lot of discussion, but one of the things that we've learned, I think, in the assessment of a successful implementation versus not is kind of buy-in from the various user groups and how well the system works for them, because you can create a beautiful system, but if everybody is more comfortable using their own spreadsheets and Excel tracking documents or whatever they've created as their little workaround, it's not going to be as successful in the implementation. So we have tried to, this buy-in part is actually very important in the success of the implementation. And then the requirements and spending so much time on the requirements, I think also hopefully will help aid us in the end of having a more successful implementation. Sometimes these big system implementations can be a little scary. They're just, you know, can be all-consuming, but I know Prasad is doing a great job, so.
Thank you, Christian. And one last thing I want to mention, that we have the internal audit team participating in some of our meetings, and Cassandra attends our steering committee meeting on a monthly basis. Just one question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to item number two, I'd like a motion to approve the 2-year internal audit plan as presented.
I'll move that.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Going on to item number three, motion to approve the internal audit charter. I know that I went over it, and I see that we have incorporated the recommendations as it relates to independence, communication, and we did clear up some of that redundancy that was in there. So I'm very comfortable with the revisions of it. I don't know if you have any.
No, I just love the acronym GAGAS. I would be happy to move it.
And I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. That takes us to item number six. No unfinished business. No new business. I know we don't have executive session. At this time, I'd like the motion
I'll make
to adjourn.
A motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor? Aye.
Thank you.
Motion.
Great.
Approved. Adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.